The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Boker Tov. It seems like we're going to get friendly over the holiday season, Kathy.
I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Anthony, is this, I mean, were you serious when you sent through the story about Benjamin Netanyahu volunteering to take the first vaccine?
Would I not be serious, Kathy?
No, really.
Sure. Prime Minister Netanyahu was at the airport yesterday to receive the first few thousand vaccines that landed in Israel, apparently on a DHL flight, I think from Brussels. And that's kind of just the start of the story, because apparently we're due to receive a few hundred thousand vaccines during the course of today, and next week a few million. And so the vaccination program is on the verge of rolling out. I understand that this Pfizer vaccine that we're talking about has yet to be authorized by the FDA in the United States. And so I understand that the Israeli Ministry of Health is holding back on beginning the rolling out of the vaccination program until at least the FDA has given their approval to this vaccine. So they're going to have to work pretty quickly, because originally Israel had been planning to begin vaccinating people on the 20th of December, which is really not long at all. That's been delayed by a week until the 27th of September, of December, I'm sorry. So the program of vaccinating people is apparently going to begin the week after next, on the 27th of December. Healthcare workers first, although they will probably have to line up behind the Prime Minister, because he, of course, has volunteered to be the first person to receive the vaccine. The Prime Minister claims that we are geared up to vaccinate 60,000 people every day. And so I'm not quite sure whether the healthcare system will be able to cope with that. That seems to be a very, very aggressive target, bearing in mind, of course, that these vaccines need to be kept at minus 70 degrees Celsius, although apparently they can be stored in a regular fridge for up to 5 days before they're actually administered. Teva will be the company responsible for countrywide distribution. And so we're heading into a very significant vaccinating program now. The health ministry, alongside that, announced that we had something like 1,700 new cases of coronavirus infections in the previous 24 hours, and a positivity rate of about 2.5%. So the rate of infection is increasing slowly but surely, day by day, and unfortunately already 2,934 people have passed away from coronas. But a lot of positivity on the horizon with this vaccination, with the vaccines having arrived yesterday and the vaccination program being rolled out within the next 2 weeks.
Is it free?
It is apparently, as far as I understand, it will be free, administered by the medical health organizations, of which every Israeli is required to be a member. So we don't have a situation where people don't have medical cover. Every person in this country, every citizen, is entitled to the most basic medical care, and if you are a member of a medical health organization, they will be responsible for administering the vaccine in the same way, I guess, as they've been dishing out flu jabs. I had my flu jab done, I rolled up, it was done, I walked away, nothing was charged, and I think that the same will be true of the COVID-19 vaccinations as well.
Just out of interest, I mean, what's your thoughts?
We're also talking about a green passport. Apparently there's going to be a green passport. You're going to have like a document of some sort to show that you are clean, that you've been vaccinated. So the government is also talking about this passport and the fact that we'll be able to show it in order to gain access to things. I think what they'll probably talk about doing is allowing those people who've been vaccinated to enter places, to do things which those who have not been vaccinated might not be allowed to do, because they can't force people to be vaccinated, and because the current surveys show that something like only 50% of Israelis actually would like to be vaccinated or intend to take up on this vaccination offer, there is inevitably going to be a situation where some people the people who have actually been vaccinated will be allowed to do things that other people won't. That's what I'm expecting will be the situation.
It's interesting. So who do you think are going to be the first people to be vaccinated? Is there a strategy in place?
Yeah, there is a strategy. First will be frontline healthcare workers.
Yes.
Thereafter, there will be a program for the elderly and those who are considered to be medically high risk. Thereafter will come people who serve the general public, and finally everybody else. I think that's the way that the strategy has been put together. I did see that kindergarten teachers have asked to be promoted in the priority list to be able to get the vaccinations earlier than their current status at the moment. So I think there is going to be a bit of a battle going on for certain groups to be elevated in the priority list. But there is certainly a strategy to try and get it to the people who need it most first, and then thereafter to the general population after that.
Fascinating. Well, this conversation isn't going to go away anytime soon. Anthony, let's talk about Israeli President Reuven Rivlin. He yesterday hosted the launch of the Bereshit 2 project. What is that?
So I don't know if people remember from about a year and a half ago, the Bereshit 1 project, what was just called Bereshit then, but the Bereshit project was this one where an Israeli space vehicle was sent to the moon. And we all watched with bated breath as the vehicle approached the moon's surface, and then in the last few meters, literally, as it was descending upon the surface of the moon, it kind of dropped out and disappeared. It literally crash-landed on the moon, and all contact was lost, and the project effectively died at that point, which is very, very sad because it was so exciting to watch the voyage to the moon and to get so close to the landing. It literally just dropped out and crash landed on the moon, which is very disappointing. So since then, by the way, I should add that former South African Maurice Kahn has been very involved in this project, financing it and really promoting it and being a public figure as well to advertise the project. Since then, there's been a lot of thought given to what happened and what should be moving forward. And Bereshit 2 has now been launched. This is in cooperation with the Israeli Space Industries and the Israeli Space Agency, the Ministry of Science and Technology. All have become involved. I don't see Maurice Kahn's name specifically mentioned at this stage, but he may well be involved. But SpaceIL, which is the company that has been set up for this project, will now be building Bereshit 2, which will comprise three spacecraft, one orbiter and two landers. And this is due to be launched to the moon in around 4 years from now, with all kinds of scientific missions, international cooperation, an attempt to try to inspire young people across the country from all parts of Israel and all parts of Israeli society to take part, to get involved, to become interested and excited by this particular space mission. And the idea is that I think that all three of these spacecraft are due to land on the moon. So this is taking it one step further, taking that failure that happened in those final moments to something which is much bigger and much greater than had been the case in the first project, to try and make this a success. And so we're going to be watching this one quite carefully to see how it progresses. It sounds very exciting.
It always sounds exciting when things get hurled into space. No. Anyhow, Anthony, you started speaking on Tuesday about six Israeli innovations that have been included in Time's top 100 innovations for 2020, which is really extraordinary when you consider that Israel is a country with a population of 8.5 million people. And they've got six innovations on that list. So what are the innovations that you didn't get to speak about?
Yeah, we spoke of about a few of them, and Howard even knew one of the guys behind the car seat, the special car seat, the fold-up called the MyFold High-Fold car seat. But the one that really caught my attention was this thing called City Transformer. City Transformer is actually a car. In spite of the strange name that they've given it, it's a small electric car which apparently will be able to drive up to about 80 or 90 kilometers an hour, and it will have adjustable wheels so that you can adjust the width of the wheels to reach as little as 1 meter in width to allow the car to go through very, very narrow spaces. But the real win about City Transformer is that you will be able to get 4 City Transformer cars into 1 regular parking space. And that's really apparently the whole advantage of this, to try to get more cars parked in smaller areas, in urban areas in particular, and to also be able to allow this car to go through very, very narrow places. And this has been picked up by Time, and they really love the project. So I've not heard about City Transformer before, but I'm certainly going to be watching that one, because it sounds like quite an interesting thing. Israel is a country where people are very open to the idea of using electric scooters and electric bikes to get around in order to get their way through traffic and to avoid the usual problems with finding parking within the city area. So I think that the City Transformer car would be quite a popular one. I'm not quite sure what the cost will be and how you'll be able to charge it and how it will compare, for example, to the likes of the Tesla, which is due to be launched here next year. But I think City Transformer is an interesting one. Another one which caught my eye was something called Incredo Sugar, which is a newly engineered form of sweetener, which apparently will help to reduce the sugar used by commercial food companies by between 30 and 50%. And even though this retains the unique flavor of sugar, it doesn't come with the usual health risks that we have associated with other sweeteners. And so the idea of this is that it tastes like sugar, but it doesn't have the same issues as sugar, and certainly not the same issues as other sweeteners. It's called Incredo Sugar. Another one of the things that were involved with the innovation list, the Time innovation list, is something called X-Vision. This is like a 3D kind of superhero-inspired idea that doctors would use, like a headset that they would have when they are undertaking medical procedures, and that superimposes a 3D image of the patient's spine over their body, practically allowing surgeons to almost see under the skin without having to look away from the operating table at all. So I can't imagine how this would work, but apparently this is a real thing. It sounds almost like a superhero type invention, but this is a real thing by a company called Augmedics. It's called X-Vision. I've no idea how they're going to use it, but Time apparently loves this idea.
But probably exactly the same the way that you've just described it. You know,
I presume
that it superimposes
the
image of the patient's actual spine on their back before surgery, so you can see where you need to cut. I think it's incredible. I think it's really incredible.
It does sound incredible, and it sounds quite difficult, you know, for the likes of, you know, simple people like me to try and understand, but it does sound incredible. I think all of these inventions actually sound quite amazing. And if any of them come to fruition and to become a real thing, I think it would be a real achievement.
Yeah. Anthony, all that's left is to wish you a Chanukah Sameach, as we all light the first candle of Chanukah tonight. And, tomorrow we can talk about it.
And to you too. I mean, There will be candle lighting for those people who are interested to follow at the Western Wall. It will be broadcast live on YouTube. The first candle will be lit tonight at 4:45, as usual from the Western Wall, with that massive Hanukkah that they put up there. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit during Hanukkah about the various traditions. We follow Hillel's tradition of lighting 1 candle on the first night and 2 candles on the second night. But there is a tradition which has been brought by the Beit Shammai, by the House of Shammai, where you're supposed to light 8 and then going down to 1 on the last candle. We'll probably follow our usual Hillel tradition. I wish you all a Chanukah Sameach. And we will talk also not only about candle lighting, but about donuts too, and things like that. Lots of yummy food over Chanukah. I wish you all Chanukah Sameach, Shabbat Shalom over the weekend. And I hope to chat to you again on Monday as usual.
Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom, Anthony. God bless. That's Anthony Reich. You can follow him on his blog, Comments from the Edge.